Butkus was the most frightening linebacker to ever play pro football.
I call him a maniac, stone maniac.
He hit our backs. Our back would go back in the huddle. He'd be talking out his ear hole.
Not only did he not want you to gain a yard, he didn't want you to gain an inch.
Welcome back, everybody. You know, Jim, it's fairly well established at this point. I spent 20 years as part of the Chicago Bears broadcast for a kid born and raised in Chicago. You know, many blessings to come out of it. But I think, you know, one of the most important to me is in the booth from 87 on 2004, and between 87 and 94, most of those years with the guy who his peers voted the greatest defensive player in the first 75 years of the National Football League. Of course, it would be Dick Butkus, and we've managed to stay buddies ever since. And he joins us now from out in California. And Dick, I know you're not wild about travel and a lot of other things, but my God, man, you got Bears-Packers Sunday. Well, why aren't you suiting up?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm actually in Las Vegas, and I had booked a deal here at the Field of Dreams store at the Caesars Forum, and I've been here a couple of days, and I'll be doing this for so many days a month for the rest of the year, so it was kind of stuck because I really wanted to go back, but this time I have to pass.
So what you're saying is that you didn't expect him to be here either.
You could say that.
Hey, Dick.
You know, I got to admit it. I was on their case, you know, losing all the exhibition games. And then, you know, the 10 sacks, the 6 sacks. I'm like, oh, man, come on. And now I've got to eat crow because they're right up there.
Well, you and everybody else in the media in Chicago, and a lot of your fellow alums as well, project very important and dear to the Butkus family that I've been trying to help Dick out with. We'll talk about in a few minutes. But, Dick, we can't get you on first and not have you take us back. And, you know, not only your great Hall of Fame career, but you played when the old man and Lombardi were still going at it. And I got to believe you've got a Bear Packer story or two for us that really stick out in your mind.
I got two, you know. When we were practicing at Wrigley Field and Packer Week came up, and I was, you know, I don't know if I was a rookie or whatever, but during practice, we're all standing around on the sideline, you know, while the offense was working, and all of a sudden, Doug Atkins and Obradovich, I think, go up to the old man, coach, yeah, what? And he says, I don't want to say nothing, but if you look up there across the street on Wayland Avenue in one of those apartments, it seems to be like a reflection of a camera or something. He says, what? Calls the security guy over. Get over there and close those windows. Get everybody in that apartment. Check them all out. And I just cracked up because I'm thinking, man, what is going on? He's so paranoid about, you know, the Packers trying to steal or watch his practice and get some tips or whatever. And then, you know, after the years go by, I'm thinking, well, Christ, he was doing the same thing with them. Just watching, you know, see, back then, also when I used to go to the Pro Bowls, it would be, you know, find out with Lombardi, you know, the first couple of years. I think he was the coach out there at the Pro Bowl. And it was always, okay, like George Allen, my rookie year, check their count, check the cadence, see what they call each play. Because, you know, usually a coach would come and use their own system, sort of, and so it was my assignment to find out what the hell the count was and what they do and what they like, and then one year we were down at that, what was that hotel we used to stay at?
Oh, the Paper Valley, or the Paper Valley in Radisson?
Yeah, right downtown, Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, in Appleton. It was a Radisson, Paper Valley, in Appleton. Oh, you're talking about downtown Green Bay?
Yeah, up at Green Bay. It was right downtown Green Bay. We used to stay at this hotel. And, you know, we're having our meetings, and then our general meeting is with everybody. And, of course, then the defense had to go across the way into another room. And the old man's giving this talk about, you know what, we need like, Lord Baltimore. We need a guy that comes and lead the charge and this and that. And so I'm sitting there as a rookie and everything, okay. So, all right, defense, you go across the hall and go to your other, you know, defensive room. And so as we're walking, we were on the second floor, and it was kind of open, and you could see there was a wedding going on downstairs or a reception. And as we're walking over, Doug Atkins leans over, paging Lord Baltimore, paging Lord Baltimore. And I'm like, holy Christ, you know. he's mocking the old man. Jesus, you know. But, you know, those were always great games, and it was always because, you know, they were winning back then. And it's just, you know, pride of trying to knock off the better team. You know, and they were always, you know, they were the champions there a couple of years. So it was always the game to gear up with. And, of course, you see a lot of the guys in the off season. But, yeah, you know, I was like telling people here that are coming by and so many Bear fans here in Vegas now. And you know, I'll bet that this game probably will have the biggest viewership ever. I don't know. I just think it's captivated the whole country in this Bear-Packer deal.
Hey,
and
Dick,
Lord knows, you know, the advertising, all the talk has been going on. Should be exciting.
As a guy who played back in the day, what do you make of all the talk about the condition of the field and, you know, whether or not this is, you know, whether teams get to show everything they can do when playoff games are played in cold weather? I mean, what do you do? What do you think when you hear talk like that?
Well, all I can do is remember playing back in Wrigley Field. I mean, it was, you know, we're playing in a baseball stadium. I mean, you put a baseball, say like on, it used to go north and south, and you put a baseball on the pitcher's mound, it would roll all the way up to the northern end zone. And we would practice on that field, and it was just no grass. And I'd always see him painting the darn thing. But to me, you know, that's what being a pro is all about. You know, if we got to play out in the parking lot, pros should be able to do that. But it's gotten to be so sterile now that, oh, geez, you know, the turf and this and the weather. I mean, calling a game like, you know, the Eagles, come on. I mean, this is what, you know, the sport was all about. It's just, to me, it's getting so sterile that, you know, you'll watch a game with AstroTurf and nobody's dirty or nothing. It's just, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get, you know, if they're going to use that as an excuse or either team. I think it's baloney.
You know, Dick, obviously it's a little different game now in one respect than when you played. And at the same time, the team that blocks and tackles the best is going to win on Sunday. As you look at some of these younger players who seem to have a different attitude towards the game, and specifically to this Bear quarterback, I don't know how much you've watched Jay Cutler. How do you read this kid? I mean, do you like him? Are you concerned about him? What are your thoughts about what you've seen so far?
I like him. I mean, I might have my head up my rear end, but I like him. And I just cracked up to myself last week when I had like a planned run for a quarterback going into the playoffs. I mean, come on, you know, I don't see Peyton Manning, you know, doing that as a design play. I just, you know, and after that Giant game, I thought they're going to get this kid killed. And all the commentators about he's throwing off the wrong foot, blah blah blah. He causes a lot of the sacks on his own, but I tell you what, if that line does a decent job, that guy can drill him as good as anybody.
Dick, I want to just shift gears for one minute because I'm actually looking at a filmography. You were in something like 84 different TV shows and movies.
Right.
I say you were in something like 84 different TV shows and or movies. Tell me what your favorite role was. I know you played a lot of football players.
Yeah. I guess my favorite one was, as far as a movie for TV, was The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. But for TV series, I really enjoyed The Hang Time. That was the last one I did because it was a kids' program, and you know, on a Saturday morning, and the prerequisite was always okay. It's like a sitcom, but you always had to deliver a message because of the kids, and. I mean, I've had people come back and said, yeah, they used to watch that and all that. But I don't know. It just seemed it was worthwhile that, you know, because we would have, like, you know, one of the kids drinking alcohol or doing drugs or teenage pregnancy. It was always something that, you know, could give a message rather than just some goofy thing made up in Hollywood.
Yeah, you know, that's a great segue of sorts. And, Dick, I'm going to let you go in a minute or two. I want to bring you back to get your thoughts on the game Sunday. But I mentioned been trying to help out with a project, the Butkus family, and Dick really actively involved along with his, I believe, younger son. Is Matt younger than Dick? Rick?
Yeah. Matt's the youngest.
Yeah, so it's the I Play Clean Foundation, and to support the I Play Clean Foundation, Dick has taken over the awarding of the Butkus Awards, which were run by the Orlando Athletic Club for a number of years. One of the most respected awards in college football, been going to the College Football Linebacker of the Year for over 25 years. When Dick took it back and started running it himself, we added an NFL Linebacker of the Year and a High School Linebacker of the Year. And while the awards are fun, Dick, I think it's really the I Play Clean Foundation that is more important. The goal to educate the youth of America to the dangers of performance-enhancing drugs. And just a word or two for you about the foundation and why this became so important to you.
Well, it became important because Matt and I met like Don Hooten, whose son committed suicide coming off of steroids, and I met a couple other parents. And in talking to my cardiologist about it, you know, I said, "Can you believe it? You know, what's going on here?" And so he took it upon himself to test a number of bodybuilders, one being, I think, a former Mr. Universe or Mr. America. And he did this EBT scan, which discovered my heart problem when I had 10 years ago. And he found out that, you know, due to the use of steroids, is that their circulatory system was like, you know, 30 years older than it should be. And, you know, he says, "Dick, you know, if this is, you know, if kids in their developmental age are taking this stuff, you know, this is a health issue. It's not just, you know, being called every time, you know, someone gets busted in baseball like Rodriguez and, what do you think about the record and everything?" And I'm, you know, and I say, you know, that's not the point. Kids look up to these people, and it's a health issue. And when we get surveys from the University of Michigan and University of Oregon that say on a survey that over 500,000 kids admit taking steroids. So you can imagine how many are not taking it or would not, you know, fess up to it. So Matt really came up with the idea, I Play Clean, and let's add the high school and the pro award and kind of piggyback off of that, at least at the high school level, and get the message out. Because one of the surveys, you know, they were saying like 84% of the kids or high school people have never been introduced to any information in regards to the dangers of using steroids. And, you know, it just saddens me that sometimes you come across that, you know, from people saying that their coaches have, you know, suggested they take them, parents. Even parents have suggested or have given their kids that stuff because they're all chasing that rainbow, you know. And I just think, you know, it's something not on the tip of everybody's tongue, you know. That's why I guess, you know, I would pick that or whatever because it's very difficult to get the word out. But I'm kind of proud of the fact that, you know, a couple of years ago we had an educational kit that was sent to 10,000 high schools. And if all those coaches, you know, relayed the message to their athletes, I mean, we would have reached 12 million kids. And that's the only thing we can do. We just have to educate not only the kids, but the parents and coaches, because it's dangerous stuff, you know, besides being illegal. And it's a uphill battle, but, you know, we can do what we got to do is just get that information out and, you know, try to have them weigh the positives and the negatives, you know. You want to screw up your health, go ahead. Because the thing, you know, it'll make you bigger and stronger, but it doesn't necessarily improve your skill at any particular sport. And the sad thing is that a third of the new users are girls, of all things. So we're getting after it, and, you know, your health out in People Chicago, we've had some fight nights that have helped us raise some money because, like I say, it's not on the tip of tongue of everybody, and it's kind of a uphill road, but we're making progress.
Well, it's a project that Dick and Matt and the family have devoted themselves to full-time. Dick will be in town this week. We're doing a special edition of the Pro Football Weekly TV show presenting the Butkus Awards for this year. It'll be seen nationally on Fox Sports and Comcast Sportsnet. You can see it here in Chicago next Friday at 5 p.m. and again Sunday morning at 9. And check your local listings or profootballweekly.com for where it'll be on around the country. Dick, I can't let you go without bringing you back to the game, though. It's the biggest thing we've seen here in Chicago since well before you left, and with good reason. Right. What do you think? I mean, and we got to put our Bear love aside and look at the football game. How do you see this thing going?
Well, you know, I'm sure all the Green Bay people are drinking the Kool-Aid, thinking about what happened last week with Rodgers. And I mean, I would go so far almost to guarantee that he will not have the same kind of game he had last week. I mean, just bringing in the bad field and the weather, you know. So, I don't know. I have a feeling, a sneaking feeling, that everybody's taking this game like New England was invincible, supposedly, and they got beat. And I think the Bears have done a good job. I like, you know, Lovey and his attitude, getting those players thinking about this rivalry. And, you know, if you do anything, you beat the Packers. So I think the Bears are going to win in a close game.
And you want to give us a score? Because Hub and I can't even get close to agreement on points. I mean, he thinks that this could be a high-scoring affair. And, boy, given the history of this game and, like I said, the weather in the field, I think it's being low-scoring. Where do you go?
Well, I'm thinking something like 24-17, something like that. Bears favored.
You must be in Vegas. I think that's exactly the line, by the way.
It's 4 out here. I think it's 4, and it's like 75% of the people are going with the Packers.
Well,
really heavy.
Dick, hopefully. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That sets up a nice upset, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully 75% of the people have a really miserable Sunday. I don't like to wish that on folks, but if it's just a football game, that'd be okay with us. Hey, listen, man, thank you so much. I know you've been working late tonight. We appreciate you taking time out to join us. Always great to hear from you, and we'll look forward to seeing you here in town next week.
Okay, try to change the weather, all right?
I'll check in with the big guy and see what I can do.
All right.
That's Dick Butkus. Dick, thank you so much.